admit to you that I need your prayers, and I appreciate the brother mentioning me in the prayers this evening. This morning we talked for a little while from Acts chapter 27, verses 21 through 25, and we talked about the statement, "I believe God," a very simple lesson that I believe that the most youngest of Christians that was among us could get a hold of that sermon. Tonight we're going to finish that sermon by talking about five more things in which we ought to be able to exclaim, "I believe God." And again, there's nothing difficult about any of these. But we need to understand that we must believe God in all that He says. You know the reference in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 when the Bible says, "For without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." And it was read by Brother Mark just a moment ago from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15 when Paul said, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day." And the Lord said in Mark 16:16, another reference that you're familiar with, when he said that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so I want us to think about the statement again, "I believe God." I believe God when the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15 or 13 and verse 34 that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. If there was ever a time in which we needed to learn that lesson, it's today. In our modern world, that we need to understand that righteousness is what exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. Our leaders today of this country and countries around the world need to get a hold of that and understand that it's not sin that exalts a nation, but righteousness. And we need to do the things that God would have us to do. In Isaiah 5 and verse 20, notice what the prophet stated in that passage. Isaiah, the 5th chapter and verse 20. We need to remind ourselves of these fundamental truths. He says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." You think that we need to be reminded about that today? You think that there's individuals today who want to put what is bitter in place of what is sweet and sweet in place of what is bitter? Surely the devil is behind that. He's been behind that since the very beginning. When God said, "Don't do this, and the day that you eat it, you'll die." And then he come along and said, "You're not going to die. I touched on this one at the end of the lesson this morning, but it bears repeating now that we ought to be able to exclaim, "I believe God," when the Bible says that he will forgive men when they obey. We deceive ourselves into thinking sometimes that we obey the gospel initially and then we need to do nothing else when we sin. You know, there's a teaching that is prevalent even among brethren today that would say that once you obey the gospel of Christ today, that the blood of Christ just continually cleanses you of all sins and you don't need to do anything. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible does teach that the blood of Christ, His Son, continually cleanses us, but it's on the stipulation when we repent of the wrong that we have done. In Jeremiah 31 and in verse 34. "And they shall teach no man, or no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more." Do you believe that God will forgive us of our sins when we obey? And not only that, but not impute it against man that he will never remember it again? Do you believe that? I'm thankful for that. When he talks about that in Acts chapter 2 verse 38. When he says that if we repent and we are baptized for the remission of our sins, that God is faithful and he'll keep his side of that and forgive us of the things that we have done. In Colossians 1 and verse 14. Talking about the blood of Christ, that we have redemption through His blood, even, what did He say? Even the forgiveness of sins. But there's a third thing, which would be number 8 in our study, as we talked about 5 this morning and 5 tonight. The Bible says that God will hold every man accountable for that which he has done. I made this statement several times from this pulpit and others. That come the judgment day, I'll not stand on the 2 feet of anybody else. My wife, my parents, my grandparents, or anyone else, regardless of how good they may have been. But on my own 2 feet come the judgment day, Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. That God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it's good or whether it's bad, that we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and then verse 10. He talks about that. That judgment scene that is pictured in the book of Revelation chapter 20. And then in verse number 12, when he talks about the fact that the books were opened and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. I believe God when he says that, do you? But yet we live our lives as though we don't believe that from time to time. We live our lives as though there's never coming a day of death for us. We live our lives as though there's never coming a day of judgment for us, knowing that the Bible says things like this. Knowing that the Bible talks about the certainty of death and the reality of a judgment to come, and we go on our way from day to day sometimes just ignoring those truths. To think that we won't die. Think back over the course of your life and think about individuals that perhaps at one time in your life you took for granted and thought that they would always be there. You look back over your life and there's individuals who you were used to being all your life. They were there. And then where are they today? They've died. We've lost members since I've been here. They're almost 3 years now. And that's the tale of any congregation. I think of congregations I've worked with in the past and preached at. And a lot of those people have died and gone on. That's the way life is. James 4:14 ought to remind us of the brevity of life. And so when the Bible says that God will hold men accountable for what they do, even in secret, I believe God. Do you? I believe God when he says that there is a heaven that awaits the faithful. I believe it was Nathan at the presiding of the Lord's Supper this morning that read from John chapter 14 verses 1 through 6. That comfort in Scriptures. And that does give us comfort. It gives us comfort when we look at Scriptures like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 13 through 18. When he's talking about those who have died in the Lord. And that one day Jesus will come again and those that have died in the Lord will be resurrected. In fact, everybody will be resurrected. According to John 5, 28, 29. Then he says again in that passage, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. That those that are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will be caught up together with the Lord and that we forever be with Him. And then he sums that up in verse 18 by saying, wherefore comfort one another with these words. When God says that if we are faithful to Him, that He'll give us that crown of life, I believe that. Again, it's no surprise to me that when Paul could say in 2 Timothy 1 verse 15 that he believed God. That he could say that in light of the fact of what he had said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 6 through 8. That he had finished his course and fought the good fight of faith and was faithful. And he said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day. And not to me only but unto all them also that love his appearing. Christ assured the church at Ephesus that if they were faithful to Him, that they, even to the taking of their life, that He would give them a crown of life. Revelation 2 verse 10. And I don't think that that excludes the church at Mill Street. If we are faithful unto Him. But not only is there a heaven that awaits the faithful, there's a hell that awaits the unfaithful. And yes, there are many people, even religiously minded people, who do not believe and the torments, the reality of a place called hell. I don't know what hell's going to look like. I don't know all the details about it. I don't know all the details about heaven. But I know that that's a real place. And I know that the wicked will go there. Those that are unprepared will go there. In the book of Revelation chapter 20. And verse 14. As we think about, I believe God. Revelation 20. In verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let me ask you this, Sunan. Do you want to go there? I don't either. And yet, at nearly every service, there's individuals who've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. We need to think about that. Nearly at every service, perhaps there's individuals who had obeyed the gospel in the past, but they're not living faithful as they should, and spurn the invitation to turn from their wicked ways and obey God, that heaven will be their eternal home. And basically what they're saying by action, not by word, but by action, is I know where I'm going and I'm content with that realization, and I don't want to make any changes that are necessary to get me off that path or off that track. Again, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. 2 Thessalonians 6 through 1, 6 through 9. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What's the end of them that do that? Who shall be punished with temporary punishment? Is that what your book says? Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power? I've had individuals ask me in the past several times, Donnie, what about situations where people don't know God and they don't know the gospel? And that's a passage that I'll point them to. The Bible says that when the Lord returns, He'll be taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe God. Do you? If you do obey Him and you know that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun and you're unprepared tonight, why not do something about it? Have opportunity to do that. I didn't give you the opportunity. By the way, man doesn't give opportunity. Doesn't give opportunity to preach. Doesn't give opportunity to do the things that we ought to be doing. God gives the opportunity, and it's up to us to use that opportunity or to spurn it. And so that opportunity has been given to you tonight by God to obey Him so that heaven can be your home if you want to go. I share with you at the end of every sermon that I do on how to become a Christian. Some people may grow tired of that. I've been told in the past that it's inappropriate to do that. I don't think there's ever an inappropriate time to share the gospel plan of salvation, even though you may know it. There may be people tonight who do not know it, or maybe they did know it, but they've forgotten about it and need to be reminded. You do that by hearing the gospel, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24, Mark 16:16, a host of other passages, Hebrews 11:6. Repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3, confessing your faith in Christ that He's the Son of God, Matthew 10:32 and 33, and being immersed into Christ, buried in baptism, in water for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2:38. And the Lord adds you to His church. And like the eunuch of Acts 8, you can go on your way rejoicing, knowing that if tonight were the last night or day of your earthly pilgrimage, heaven will be your eternal home. Maybe you have done that, you've fallen away, turned your back on the Lord, and you're like inspiration describes as a dog that has returned to its own vomit again, or the sow that was washed her own wallowing in the mire. You can clean yourself up by responding to the invitation. Repent of those sins, make a confession to God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the gospel, come. We bid you come.